Welcome to Incomparably Comparable with Shelley Wilson. By standing in the power of who we are and recognizing our place within the whole, we are incomparably comparable. Shelley's guests are consciously choosing to embrace their aliveness as they navigate their individual journey into consciousness. And here's your host. Welcome to Incomparably Comparable with Shelley Wilson. By standing in the power of who we are and recognizing our place within the whole, we are incomparably comparable. Shelley's guests are consciously choosing to embrace their aliveness as they navigate their individual journey into consciousness. And here's your host.
Welcome to Incomparably Comparable. I'm your host, Shelley Wilson. My guest today is Chris Grasso. Chris is a public speaker, writer, and author of the books Indie Spiritualist and Everything Mind. He's the spiritual director of Tovio by Advocacy Unlimited, and his passion involves assisting others who are in the process of healing. Today, Chris is going to share what he's learned about life, spiritual awakening, and the truth of it all. Welcome, Chris.
Hi, Shelley, and we're going to do all of that in less than half an hour. Are you ready?
Yes, we are. We are ready. So I'm so delighted to have you. I know we were talking a bit before we went live about how we connected last year, this time last year, at Sedona World Wisdom Days.
Yeah, and that was what an amazing event that two gentlemen, Jerry and Glenn, put on, a really tremendous event. And that's where, as I mentioned to you, I also met Shane, who runs Vivid Life, for the first time. And it was just a special, special weekend, let alone it was my first trip to Sedona, which I'd never been to before. But to be presenting at an event of that caliber with so many amazing other teachers and just wonderful people such as yourself. Wow. And yeah, it's been a whole year already. Where does the time go?
I know. It's a little bit crazy. And I have to say, too, that was my first trip to Sedona as well.
Ah.
And it definitely is a magical place. And
yeah.
I just know that, you know, when people come together and they have intentions, high vibration, like-minded, good intentions, magic happens, doesn't it?
Oh, I would say so. Really does. Yeah, when people come together in the space of the heart space of, you know, service and loving kindness and compassion, certainly really beautiful things do happen.
Absolutely. And what we recognize too, and I know you've wrote about it in your books, but things aren't always magical and beautiful and pleasant, you know, are they? And the thing is, though, when we get to that awareness, everything is a piece of the puzzle, isn't it? There's a bigger picture to what is happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that is part of what I write about in my books and when I do talks. Because, you know, something I've noticed that happens a lot with those on the spiritual path, and myself included in this, you know, many years ago when I first stepped on, is I'll speak in my me terms right now. I'll use I language. But I would tend to compartmentalize spirituality as something that was only happening when I was formally sitting in meditation, you know, or saying a prayer or reading a spiritual book, visiting a sangha, you know, any of these quote unquote, you know, spiritual activities. But that's not really the case. You know, spirituality, it imbues all of life in every minute. At least that's what I've come to experience. And I've also learned from many of the great mystics from all of the world's wisdom traditions. And that's really wonderful, though, when we learn to live in a way where it is all spiritual, it is all part of our path. And that includes, you know, the times that aren't so great. But, you know, if we are really going to be inclusive in our spiritual path, then we need to honor all of it, the triumphs and the heartbreaks, the joys and the suffering, the light and the dark. You know, it is all part of the path, and they all are equally suitable teachers and lessons. And one just quick last thing I'll say to that is I love to just quickly share this quote. The Zen Buddhist teacher Thich Nhat Hanh is very famously quoted as saying, which is, no mud, no lotus. And, you know, what I take away from that is that our best selves can grow out of our most difficult times, you know, our pain and suffering. And as we learn to bring all of that to the path, including that those difficult times, then we can learn to compassionately work with and through whatever life is handing us, good or bad. And we can even do so with an open and courageous heart and mind. So, yeah.
I think that's a beautiful way to express it. And I love the teachings of Thich Nhat Hanh as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that this journey into consciousness that we're on, this evolution of our soul, so to speak, you know, we have to have those hard knocks. And sometimes, you know, we recognize and ask those questions, you know, why do we have them? What is this all about? What's going on? But I firmly believe that we, in essence, as a soul, signed up to experience all that life has to offer.
Hmm. Yeah, and I've heard many teachers say that, you know, from Wayne Dyer down the line. So, you know, if we're speaking in a Buddhist context, maybe a Buddhist would say, you know, there is no soul, whereas, you know, someone else might say there's a soul. I see both sides of that coin. But regardless, I think that these difficult times really are the ones that become our greatest teachers. You know, as long as we find a way to work with them and through them rather than, you know, repressing them, pushing them away, turning to drugs and alcohol and food and turning the TV on and, you know, all things that I'm guilty of doing in the past and somewhat still to this day. But as you become aware of it, you work with it and you do that less and mm-hmm. less. And you learn to show up for these difficult times in a more skillful way. And that's, it's all part of the past. Ram Dass would say, it's all grist for the mill. And that's another saying I really love. It really is all of it. So, yeah.
Yes. And you know, I think that, of course, this journey that we're on every day presents us with those opportunities to learn and to grow.
Yes.
And the more that we are with ourselves, and, you know, going back to Thich Nhat Hanh, of course, his practice is mindfulness and being right. in that moment, even in those times where it can seem a bit drudgery or, you know, chore-ish or things like that where we really don't want to do it, but we've got to show up. And I think if we can show up with all of ourselves, you know, that's where the beauty lies as well.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. And I'm actually thinking of something that happened last summer for me. I was giving a talk at a festival in Connecticut, and it was one of the most emotionally difficult times of my life. I was going through something very, very difficult within my family. And I remember waking up the morning of the event, and I just wanted to crawl back under my covers and disappear and just check out of reality for a while. You know, I just did not want to be awake and let alone go speak in front of, you know, hundreds of people. But something much deeper within myself, much greater than that, you know, the thoughts of just go back to bed, don't do it, compelled me, you know, to show up. And mm-hmm. to show up not just for the people that were expecting me, but to show up for myself in a way as
right.
well. And what, you know, so what happened was I gave this talk, and it was a 45-minute talk, I think I was doing roughly, and I was about 10 minutes into it, and I just started to cry, and that had never happened to me before, and it wasn't a good cry either. It was a very hurt, painful cry, and it was very vulnerable, you know, being there in front of all these people and having that experience, and but something amazing happened. I put the mic down. I didn't think I was going to be able to continue on. And something just guided me back to focusing on my breath and being there in the moment. And after a moment or two of that breathing, I was able to finish the talk. I'm sure it was like one of the most disheveled talks I've ever given, but I did finish it. And the beautiful thing was afterwards, people, you know, came up and shared with me in their own pain, and we shared hugs, and it just, I think, was a testament that we can show up for life in all of it, you know, the good and the bad. And
yeah.
I didn't have to be there and pretend, you know, everything was perfect. I let people see my raw vulnerability, and we connected in a very deep way. So just showing up for life.
Well, the whole time you were talking, I had chills, and Spirit gives me chills when it's truth. And, you know, what I feel is you showed up as your authentic self in that moment. And by being in that vulnerable state, it wasn't a weakness. It was allowing yourself to be seen, and it allowed you to connect with those around you, which is what you did.
Yeah, it really was one of the most beautiful experiences I've ever had in that kind of context. So I'm so grateful I went. It was a terrible day emotionally, but that one part of it meant the world to me, and it will stay with me for the rest of my life, no doubt about it.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Well, you're listening to Incomparably Comparable. I've been speaking with Chris Grasso. When we return, we're going to talk more about living from a heart space and really allowing yourself to meet all of life with an open heart.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me. Shelley Wilson is an author, intuitive medium, and conscious creator who is passionate about helping people wake up to their greatness. Her books, 28 Days to a New You, Connect to the You Within, and Journey into Consciousness, are available in paperback and ebook. Contact Shelley at www.shelleyrwilson.com to learn more about the services she provides. You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Welcome back to Incomparably Comparable with Shelley Wilson. We're continuing our conversation today with Chris Grasso. Before the break, we were talking about some experiences and really allowing ourselves to show up and be seen, even when it involves being vulnerable. We're going to dive in and talk more about living from a heart-centered space. Welcome back, Chris.
Well, thank you again for having me.
Absolutely. So I know, you know, we're covering as much as we can, and I know we shared about being in a space, being authentic, and, you know, allowing all of our experiences to create this amazing life experience that we're having, even though at times it may not feel so amazing. It could have those hard knocks, those challenges, but we also have those triumphs. So what I would love for you to share, and I know you've got a lot of wisdom within you, that those tips and tools that can really assist others in that time of need for themselves as well.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, you know, the very first thing that comes to mind is just establishing some kind of a meditative practice. And I don't advocate one kind over another. There is no shortage of kinds of meditations out there, from guided to walking to Vipassana. You know, there's just really so many different kinds. But finding a practice that you can work with and one that you can dedicate yourself to on a daily basis. Now, of course, there will be days where it just gets away from you and you know, you're in bed and, oh, shoot, I didn't meditate today. It's life. It happens. But, you know,
right,
really committing yourself to, again, showing up. And even if it's just starting with 5 minutes a day of sitting with your breath and being there, and then maybe after a few days or a week or two, you make that 10 minutes and then, you know, gradually increase it. But, you know, as I was sharing about that experience before the break, in retrospect, I know that the reason I was able, or not able, the reason I was guided naturally beyond my own conscious intention back to my breath was because that's what I'm rooted in after doing this for so many years. That was my natural instinct, was to come back to my breath. Whereas many years ago, you know, of course, my instinct would have been get a drink, get a drug, because, you know, I'm in recovery from that sort of lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But that's the beauty of it. So meditate. And I am an advocate for is using places such as Google or YouTube and typing in some keywords if you're not familiar. search around, try some different things out, but find something that works for you and really commit to it. So that's the first thing. I don't know how many practices you're looking for. I mean, we could spend multiple shows on how many tools and techniques, you know, I've found valuable, but that one right there is kind of, for me, the core that everything else is built off of.
Well, I feel like, you know, there always has to have a foundation in our spiritual practice. And I think that is absolutely essential one. And as you said, you know, if a day goes by and there just wasn't enough time or things got busy, it's okay. You know, don't beat yourself up that you didn't take the time, because to me, that's going to do more harm than, you know, not actually doing it to begin with, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I used to beat myself up all the time over, if I didn't meditate, or if I meditated for 20 minutes, yet basically 19 and a half of those minutes were spent lost in thought, I would really come down on myself and feel like I was a failure being spiritual, as if there is really any such thing as that. But that's something I've had to learn through the years, is to cultivate greater compassion and gentleness with myself in the process. And that's something I try to really instill in others, you know, through my writing and my workshops, is first and foremost, as you're going through this process, whether you're new or you've been on the path a while, make sure that you are not too hard on yourself. That's not to say, you know, don't discipline yourself, but don't beat yourself up. You know, find, as the Buddha would say, that middle path, not too tight, not too soft. Just be there and understand it's a process.
Yes, I think that's very good advice, because, you know, a lot of people too will tend to compare their journey to everyone else around them. And
right.
Once that comparison starts happening, then they either feel like they're better or not good enough. There's the lack. And what I fully believe is that, you know, what works for someone else may not work for you, and vice versa. And that practicing discernment, seeing what resonates, you know, allowing ourselves to be incomparably comparable, where we're having that unique life experience while we're all connected, I think it's important.
So wonderfully well said. You know, the spiritual path is absolutely a highly individualized process. And so when we do start to compare and contrast ourselves with others, that is where things, you know, can start to go wrong. That's not to say that we can't draw inspiration from others, because that's very important.
Right.
You know, we have our teachers
right.
and our peers on the path, our Sangha members or church members or whomever, and that's wonderful. Those are huge supports. However, we need to remember that it is an individual process. Not everyone grows at the same pace. Not everyone has the same experiences at the same pace. Not everyone's going to have the same experiences, period. And that's okay, you know, but yeah, it's really about finding the path and the practices that work for us in a way that we can stay committed and continue to go deeper. And that's why I feel so honored and humbled and grateful to be in the position I'm at today, where I can write these books and give these talks, because at face value, you know, someone looks at me and sees I'm heavily covered in tattoos and I have some big holes in my ear and, you know, and I do still like punk rock music, and they, you know, they probably wouldn't equate the word spirituality, you know, by looking at me. However,
right.
that also, you know, allows me to connect with a lot of people that normally might not give any interest towards spirituality, you know. So I do speak with a lot of people at colleges or in rehabs or youth facilities and things of that nature. And it's a real blessing in a very big way to be able to connect with people like that. But then also to show up in an event like Celebrate Your Life or Sedona World Wisdom Days and really connect at a heart level with some of the great wisdom teachers and people who look nothing like me and probably share very little as far as external interests like music and movies. However, when we are connecting in that place of the heart where, you know, the spiritual path is of importance, of recognizing the divinity within ourselves and all beings, then that is what matters the most. And that's where really I've made the most beautiful connections in my life, regardless of the exterior, what the person looks like, their age, what their background is. And that's what happens when you are living from a heart-centered place.
Right, right. And, you know, I have to go back because what you were talking about is appearance. And, you know, people tend to absolutely, you know, make an assumption, make a judgment, whatever, based on what people look like, based on what they do, anything like that. And I think that the more that each one of us embraces who we are and what we feel comfortable with, it is going to attract those people that feel connected to us, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And the nice thing, well, not nice thing, but the thing for me with that is I get no shortage of those sorts of things happening. So they're all practices for me. It's a practice, and that's wonderful, you know, because I am still judged based on appearance, and it does still actually surprise me a little bit to this day. But I'm thinking back to when both of my books were released, I was very honored to have support from people like Ram Dass and Tara Brach. And I named them specifically.
Jeff Bridges.
You got
a beautiful endorsement.
Yeah. And I'm honored by all of that. But I mentioned Tara and Ram Dass because specifically I remember on their Facebook posts, you know, they posted to social media when my books came out and, you know, wrote some really kind things. And that meant the world to me. And the majority of the comments and whatnot were really sweet and supportive. But of course, there were a couple of people, you know, that wrote me off completely based on my appearance because each of their posts had a picture of me and you could see my tattoos. And I get that still. And the like I said, it's a practice, though, because I have two choices. Either I'm going to get upset and offended, or I'm going to recognize that's their business. You know, that's where they're at in their lives. And if, you know, they're quote unquote spiritual people yet still feel the need to cut someone down based solely on external appearance, well, you know, all I can do is honestly send them a little love and hope they're able to cut through that, because that's their
stuff.
Love them more.
I wrote a blog about that the other day. Love them more. When you're feeling annoyed or frustrated or even hurt or any emotion, love that person more rather than, you know, going to that place, because many times people don't even realize that what they say or do may affect you. You know, some may do it intentionally, but I don't feel that most people are that tuned in to, you know, want to go to that degree, you know, to affect us, because no one can affect us anyway. It's our choice how we want to feel.
Right.
And that's a whole other conversation too, isn't it, Chris?
It is. And we could get into like a whole shadow work and shadow self show. But yes, I mean, I know that that's what it's all rooted in, and that's okay. But you know, that's, again, it's a practice, and everything in life can be a teacher depending on how we look at it.
Right. And I think that, you know, a lot of people recognize, you know, that they have people that they would deem as teachers. But I think some of our biggest teachers are the people that we interact with, the relationships that we have with one another, you know, all of that. And I think that, you know, even when we cross paths, such as we did at the Sedona World Wisdom Days, that's an opportunity to connect. And I think that, you know, in those moments, we may not realize, well, a year from now, we're going to share a conversation on a show. We just connect in that moment and, you know, allow each person to have their experience.
Absolutely. And that's the beautiful thing, is when we're open in that sort of a way, then yes, then we're, you know, we are students of life, and we're able to be taught and learn things about ourselves and others, you know, at all times. I'm thinking back to before I started writing, I worked for about 5 years at an elementary school as a assistant site director before. It was for a before and after enrichment program, as well as doing one-on-one mentoring with kids ages about 5 to 18. And those years, I learned so much, you know, and those kids in so many different ways were some of the greatest teachers in my life. Still to this day, I consider them that. And now I'm married and I have a 8.5-year-old stepdaughter, and she continues to be a great teacher for me, just as my wife is a huge teacher. So, of course, there are the more traditional teachers, you know, the spiritual beings that we look up to, or even just parents and family members and professors, things of that nature. But again, everyone can be a teacher if we're open in that sort of a way, and it's pretty wonderful.
Yes, and I want to also given a synonym for the word open, and that's being receptive, because I feel like people can be open, but they may not necessarily be receptive to everything that comes to them.
That's great. I like that. Yeah.
Well, Chris, I know that Shane, vividlife.me, is doing a promotion and asking, what does your vivid life look like? And so I would love for you to share. I know you shared on Edie's show last week, but in this moment, what does your vivid life look like?
Yeah, and I don't remember exactly what I shared with her, but and I like that, because in this moment, my vivid life looks like what I'm seeing right now, which is, aside from my computer, behind it is a picture of Maharaji, a wonderful saint guru from India. And next to that, I see a Clark Griswold bobblehead from the National Lampoon Christmas Vacation movie. And then a Alex Gray poster, the very visual, incredible artist. And then I see some of my daughter's toys and my guitar and amp. And that is a vivid life, being here in this moment with these things and looking deeper than seeing them as object and me as subject, but rather the interconnectedness that I'm sharing with all of it right now and with you, you know, in another country, and with Shane, who's doing, you know, the back end things of this show. It's all a beautiful dance right now. So that's my vivid life in this moment.
It certainly is. Well, thank you for sharing a conscious conversation with me today.
Thank you, Shelley. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Thank you. You can connect with Chris at his website. It's theindiespiritualist.com. You can also like his page on Facebook, Chris Grasso. I want to thank you for listening to Incomparably Comparable. I invite you to visit my website at shellyrwilson.com and to like my pages on Facebook. Please join me next week for another conscious conversation with David Rivenis. Be sure to visit vividlife.me to listen to the radio archives and to enter does your vivid life look like on vividlife.me and also on facebook.com, vividlife.me. Until next week, continue
to celebrate
your uniqueness.
Thank you for listening to Incomparably Comparable with your host, Shelley Wilson. Please visit ShellyRWilson.com to learn more about how Shelley can support you as you navigate your own journey into consciousness to experience aliveness. Join us again next week for another conscious conversation celebrating our uniqueness as we acknowledge our oneness.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.